So when you're looking at oil, and this may be something that you've thought about before, the BP oil leak has passed the six-week mark. It's continuing to gush. We don't know if this current attempt is going to even stifle the oil leak at all. And we have more questions, it seems, than we have answers. And that includes questions about BP's safety record. Their number of violations they have that are labeled as egregious are in the hundreds. And frankly, Jon Stewart of The Daily Show had a good question that he asked recently.
760 willful, egregious safety violations. Impressive. But amazing? Well, we really won't know until we compare it to something.
This dwarfed violations from other oil companies. Sunoco and ConocoPhillips had 8 each. Citgo had 2. Exxon had 1.
One! Exxon had 1! The people who think nothing of putting tigers into people's tanks.
These are the people who, of course, had their name on the Exxon Valdez spill. Had 1, BP had 760. So how did they get permits to drill the deepest oil well in mankind's history? We're joined now by the director of the Public Citizens Energy Program, Tyson Slocum. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I guess I just don't understand how oil companies get permits to drill in the first place. Obviously, BP has a smeary record on safety. Shouldn't that have been considered when they were getting the permit to drill an extraordinarily difficult and risky well?
It should have been, but in the world when powerful corporations and government collide, corporations usually win the day, and that's because they exert their influence through campaign contributions and lobbying pressure to relax rules that otherwise should apply to them. When these companies are bidding on leases that allow them access to the oil, because remember, this Gulf of Mexico incident happened on what's known as the Outer Continental Shelf, 40 miles off the coast of the United States, in U.S. federal waters, so therefore the federal government owns the land and therefore owns the oil, and we are simply leasing it to these companies to drill.
Right, but let's go back to what you just said a moment ago. These leases to drill oil are put up for auction.
That's correct. And so BP won this particular auction for this parcel. In March of 2008, they paid $34 million. They were the highest bidder, and that entitled them to drill for oil for as much as they could get out of the ground for 10 years.
All right. Well, you have a horse in this race. I mean, you're an activist. You are clearly critical of BP even before the oil spill, and I know that you have supported a boycott on the oil company. But one of the things that you are more of an expert on is this whole process of issuing drilling permits. And I want to ask you, is it possible we could get a reevaluation about how permits are issued because of this oil spill?
Oh, we absolutely have to. I mean, that's one of the most important reforms that have to be enacted as a result of the largest industrial and environmental disaster in American history. We have to have a fundamental reform of the way permits are issued. And what those reforms would include would be a complete top-to-bottom review of the company bidding on the leases and then submitting a drilling plan, and that review would be taking into account their safety and environmental record. Second, we need to make sure that scientists are at the forefront of the environmental review portion of the drilling application.
As opposed to who? Who is at the forefront now? Who is evaluating these?
The engineers from the oil company. What happens is the engineers from BP submit a drilling plan to the Minerals Management Service, and the Minerals Management Service has only 30 days by congressional mandate to either approve or reject the leasing plan. So that doesn't give the engineers a whole lot of time, obviously. They can reject it if they find that it poses harm to the environment or to life, but the fact is that scientists at other federal agencies like NOAA, for example, are cut out of the loop in terms of having a final say-so over whether or not ultra-deep water drilling poses more risks than rewards. So we've got to make sure that America's top federal scientists who do extensive work on the impact of drilling on the oceans have a substantial role in reviewing these applications.
Okay, but do you believe we can drill safely?
I don't know. I mean, what's clear is that we cannot fix a problem if one occurs at 5,000 feet of water. I mean, what is incredible about all of this is that one of the world's richest corporations operating in the world's richest country can have no plan whatsoever to deal with a catastrophic blowout of a well in 5,000 feet of water.
Okay,
and all of these things that BP has been trying to fix are always successful with a blowout when it occurs on land or in shallow water, maybe 500 to 1,000 feet deep. But at 5,000 feet deep, it is clear we lack the technology to fix a problem.
Okay, we have very little time left. Tyson Slocum of the Public Citizens Energy Program, but I want to throw you quickly the idea that Sarah Palin put on her Facebook page, which is that environmentalists partly caused the Gulf oil spill by forcing oil companies to drill in a really, really deep area of the ocean.
That is a complete lie. The fact is that all of the shallow deposits are mature and drying up, and that the only new large deposits are in harder to get places.
Okay.
I mean, Sarah Palin is just lying.
Tyson Slocum, Director of Public Citizens Energy Program. We've got more oil coverage on our site. You can also check out a video of Bill Gates, Samantha Bee from The Daily Show, and even one of our interns brainstorming about how to plug the oil leak. That's all at thetakeaway.org. You can weigh in yourself as well. And we're going to hear more from Bill Gates and his father, Bill Gates Sr., in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about how you can find success in business and how that's sometimes rooted in a strong family.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.